podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time today. Whatever it means for you in your club, we'll talk about that later.
Welcome back to another episode of We'll Talk About That Later, a football podcast mostly about opinions that aren't really that serious. Follow us on IG and Twitter at WTATLOfficial. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to right now so you never miss a new drop. This is episode 140.
Woo! And we've lost a couple.
Yeah, we've lost two of our main hosts here, Tanya and Mark.
Well, you guys don't need to worry. They probably won't come back again, so it's fine. It's just going to be a twosome now.
missing you guys already.
What are the reasons?
Tanya's volunteering, noble.
Lies. Okay, cool. But what's Mark's reason? He wants to watch Liverpool Ajax.
Mark is we sent him on a scouting mission. He has to that's a classic, isn't it? Ajax versus Liverpool.
Yeah, cool.
That's like gonna come football up with heritage, isn't it?
No, he didn't want to face the smoke after they got smashed up by Napoli.
That did happen.
Oh, what a treat that was, you know. Honestly, I was out at the time, and then I got a message from you like, what's going on with Liverpool? And I was just like, I looked at, what's the score? Oh, it's 4-0. Oh my god, what a treat, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was that message was genuine.
Yeah, what's going on?
And I was like, what is going on with Liverpool? Like, I can't even start to explain, because the players, they look like they're going through Space Jam.
No. Some of those defenders, I think that was literally, because obviously Liverpool lost. So what I did, I missed the game, so I had to watch the whole thing back the next day. So I went to a great deal just to find that full 90 minute again, just to watch it and enjoy it, because it was fantastic.
You're one of those people, isn't it?
I'm not going to lie anymore. I absolutely hate Liverpool. And it's a lot of hatred I have for Liverpool. And it just goes back to like years of growing up hating Liverpool. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. I know Mark is... The thing is, with Mark here, I don't want him to be upset all the time, you know? It's like, I don't want him to be upset. But I want him to not get upset at the fact that I hate Liverpool, you know? Mm. And so like, watching Liverpool lose, it's fantastic. They've had a lot of success over the last couple of years. They're a fantastic team. They've got lots of top players and got great manager. And they've collected the whole set. Now it's time for the empire to burn down. Yeah? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
You agree though,
innit? Agree. Yeah. I don't know. I don't hate Liverpool as vehemently as you do.
Mm-hmm. You hate Chelsea.
Yeah, I hate
Chelsea. Man United.
Yeah, I hate Tottenham.
I hate Tottenham. I mean, just add Liverpool to it. It doesn't make any difference.
No, like I said before, we've spoken about this on the podcast, is like, of the ranking of the top, mm-hmm. It'll be like top five in it, because Arsenal, I don't hate Arsenal, but Liverpool would be bottom of that. Well, hate
you
list.
Hate them more than you hate them less than Man City.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, I can't stand Man City.
How many Man City fans do you know?
For me, obviously that factors in, but I probably like I don't know that many Liverpool fans. But Man City,
one is enough, you know, and he makes it really easy.
I do know some Man City fans, but the problem is for me is the money.
Chelsea
are above Man City.
Yeah, I mean, but still, like Liverpool before Man City had foreign owners. Liverpool had foreign owners.
Yeah, but
and Liverpool they nearly put the club into administration.
Yeah, but they didn't. The thing is that when we were growing up, I always thought Arsenal were better than Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a team,
as growing up, we were also better than Man City.
Yeah, that's fair. But what I'm saying is I never saw them as a threat. So when they had foreign owners and they were spending, I never really saw them as like, oh, you know, like they're bare annoying. They are bare annoying because they tend to beat us. But what happened was with Man City is the amount of money is like unlimited amount of money that they can spend. And like, for example, I thought it was quite amusing at first when like Mark Hughes era, you know, where they're buying like 20 players, like when they
like Forrest Honor.
Yeah. like they bought Craig Bellamy, Gareth Barry. I thought that was amusing. I was like, oh, that's cute, you know. They're buying Prem experience.
Oh, you got yourself an Adebayo.
Do you know what I mean? That was annoying. But I guess that helps as well with the rivalry, because like Adebayo celebrating the way he did after he scored against us, the way Samir Nasri left. So it's just like that builds up. But then when you're seeing time and time and time again the amount of money that they spend, it's just so annoying, because to compete logically, you have to spend the same or equivalent.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, the thing is with Liverpool, the only thing that makes him less hateable for me is I like some of their players.
Well, I also like...
And I like their manager as well.
I like the way that they're run.
But the issue... But I have...
Don't you like the way that... Well, no, previously, like, for example, the way that they won the Champions League and the Premier League is like you sell low-quality assets for high amount and then you reinvest in the team.
Era of Barcelona giving out money generously is done now. So
yeah, but I'm not even talking about Coutinho because I wouldn't call him a low quality asset. I'd say he was probably Liverpool's best player.
It's just, the thing is with Liverpool is because they have success on the pitch. So all these clubs crowd them like idiots, and they think all of their shit are just going to buy some sort like, of osmosis. Are going to get quality.
Like, do you know how many
Danny Ward, man?
I was about to say how many games has Danny Ward played for Liverpool?
He is horrible, man.
And then Leicester go fork out how much ever million. Meanwhile, Leno was our number one for 3 years and.
They sold
10 million.
They sold Nico Williams for 17 million. So, the thing is, a lot of these players are going to.
We're giving out players for free. And these were in our first team.
The Aubameyang thing just drives me mad. Like, we gave him away for free in January, and then Barcelona got 6 months out of him and then got 12 million out of him. So, I think we watched the documentary. Edu's start was, we're not going to get any money for him. Let's just give him away for free. It was just like, what? You're not even going to try? And, like, it's just that's the thing now. It is with, like, we got 7 million for Lucas Torreira. That's a £25 million asset. 3 million for Leno. That's 22 million we originally bought.
Wasn't it 11? I thought it was.
Well, yeah, it's 3 million up. Oh, yeah. But then with add-ons, it's going to be like 11 million. But, and also like Bellerin. Bellerin was about, he's a flipping Spanish internet. He played for Spain. Like, he's played over 250 games for Arsenal.
Terminate the contract.
For free, that's fine. Yeah, to terminate everyone's contract.
Oh, but there's a buyout.
When I saw him leaving, bro. Obviously, like, there was a game in pre-season, yeah, where he played for us. And I was in the mindset of, it's either him or me this season. Because we both can't stay. Because I was like, anything, like,
there's a sell-on clause, that's what I was meant to say.
Well, yeah,
so exactly, like, if we sell, if Barca sell him, we get some money.
Yeah, Barcelona are going to sell him for what, 25 million and give us a crunchy in return, isn't it? It's just like, we're going to get nothing in the sell-on clause because they don't know how to negotiate. But going back to Liverpool, yeah, it's just like, I think these clubs, yeah, they buy Liverpool thinking these crap players who don't contribute to their success are going to get some sort of like quality just through association with Salah and Van Dijk. So that's why they're out here buying Nico Williams and who else they sold recently, like Minamino and
just everyone that they sell. Well, yeah. Like Solanke even for 20 million.
20 million, exactly, yeah. What is he good at? What, because he stood next to Salah in training. Now he's going to get some sort of quality now, is he? But yeah, it's just that's the thing. They are good with when it comes to selling players, but like, you know, obviously Man City have a foreign owner. That's the issue. Is that Man City have...
We've had foreign owners in the Premier League for a long time.
The point I'm making is not about the foreign owner. It's more about the fact that they have an owner who just gives them money. There's no like
they're owned by a country basically. Like,
there's no like anything with regards to what they sell or their own revenue or anything like that. They just have an independent owner pumping money. That's why we hate Chelsea. I get that, but the issue, like, my hatred for Liverpool comes from back in the day, 2001 FA Cup final, 2008 Champions League quarter final. Growing up around Liverpool fans who thought they were better, they used to say to me, "Oh, Sacco is better than Koscielny." Like, in what world, man? Sacco, who does Sacco play for now?
I don't know
exactly. And we didn't even know who he played for when he was at Palace. Innit? So, all of this kind of stuff, they used to always tell me, like, "We've got the best." Like, Brendan Rodgers is better than Arsene Wenger. I'm like, in what universe, bro? Like, what did Brendan Rodgers do?
But I feel like it's like that's obviously. As a football fan, you have to back your team.
But the thing is, there was no Man City fans around me telling me Adebayor is better than Thierry Henry or anything like that.
No, but I think what's enough, it was enough for me, was just that celebration alone.
Yeah, fair enough. Oh, well, yes, it's more Adebayor, isn't it?
Like, and then, like, the comments Sami Nasri said afterwards, and then, like, obviously...
the thing is, I don't like Man City, I hate him all. But when it comes to Liverpool, Man City...
I hate him.
When it comes to Liverpool, Man City, I'm definitely going to be supporting Man City because... There's the deep-rooted hatred. And I think my hatred for Liverpool has come more because they've been really good now. It's just, no one likes favourites, you know. No one likes a team that's really good. We all want to see a team really good go down, innit? Like, if Arsenal suddenly become good and we have a great couple of years in terms of winning trophies and finishing in the top four, people are going to want us to go back down as well.
They already hate us.
They hate us because we've had years of success, innit? So.
No, they already hate us. Like, we're top of the league now and we know it's like a false position, but they're already like, oh, they need to be humbled.
So watching Liverpool now, like, struggle. It's delicious. And when, especially now, yeah, when the only issue is like with Liverpool, yeah, is a lot of their, not just the fans, but like a lot of people, they think just because you play for Liverpool, you're automatically a decent player because Klopp doesn't pick bad players, innit? Darwin Nunez is a toilet footballer. I'm sorry. I don't care. He might get goals and he's physically, he's gifted, but he's not, I don't think he's Liverpool level. And we had that conversation as well. Like, obviously you guys want him to get, want to give him time. I feel £100 million player. I don't think, you know, I think he needs to be performing now. When it comes to just assessing a Liverpool player, we need to be honest. Not just because you play for Liverpool doesn't mean it's acceptable. Why is Ox still at Liverpool? I said it from the first day he got there. I was like, this guy is the 6 month player and then he'll be rubbish for the rest of the time. Are you paying attention to what I'm talking
about?
I just talk to myself.
No, I am. I'm writing down titles.
Okay, fair
Can
enough.
Can I not?
Oh, okay, cool.
I have to do other jobs as
yeah,
well.
Fair enough, yeah. See, that's what happens when you don't call me Tanya Mark. and then Keita. I've said it as well. Keita.
Unknown caller.
Sorry, someone was trying to call me.
It was like Mark.
No, I think it was hospital, but.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Well, it's not anything like with Mark and Tanya being in hospital or anything like that.
No, it's about me, innit?
Oh, yeah, because you're bad knee, innit? So, yeah, just, well, I don't know, I was just rambling about Liverpool. But, yeah, Nunes. Just go back to the...
No, you were talking about Nunes and how because Liverpool buy someone doesn't mean that they're automatically...
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the case. I just think, like, with any player, and I think it's regardless of their transfer fee...
Mm-hmm.
You have to give them time. Coming from a different, like, coming from South America, he obviously played in Portugal. He doesn't know how, he might know a few words, but he probably doesn't know how to speak, like, proper English, like, I shouldn't say proper English, but I should probably say, like, fluent English.
Mm.
It's a new system, new style of play. Liverpool is a lot higher up, let's say, than Benfica in terms of, like, the pressure that there is for them to compete on all stages and all this kind of stuff. So it's a lot for a 21-year-old to come in and then have to, like, perform straight away. So in the Premier League, we've always said it's one of the hardest leagues, most physical, and it does take players adaptation periods. I'm not saying it could be 1 month. It could be 6 months. I don't know.
6 months is not going to cut. You got to start. 6 months is, honestly, me personally, I'm not going to wait 6 months for a guy I pay $100 million for. And you can lie about his fee all you want, Mark, yeah. But we know it's $100 million in it. Because if Liverpool want see him as a guy who's going to be successful, those add-ons are going to be paid. So don't be like, oh, well, the first fee is going to be like $2.5 million and then we're going to, like, structure the deal where we give him, like, a couple chocolates and none of that
couple
stuff.
Couple chocolates.
Yeah. It's just like, if you think he's going to be a good player, all of those add-ons are going to be played. They're going to be paid, so you have to take in the whole fee. That's why, like, Havertz, that's a £100 million player. Sancho, that's going to be up to like 70, 80 million. All of those guys, yeah, I'm adding your add-ons, yeah? Don't say, oh, it's just like without the add-ons. No, you want him to be successful, yeah? So if you're successful, they're all being paid, innit?
Yeah,
so,
but a lot of that is like, it's not just performance-based. It's like how well the team does. So reaching the semi-final of the Champions League or final of the Champions League, how many games does he play for Uruguay or whatever? Like, for example, Sancho. He's been massively out of form. Obviously, Gareth Southgate is a bonehead and he's probably going to pick him and stuff like that. But it probably is, like, let's say, if a normal manager would say drop Sancho from the England squad and be like, okay, so he's not playing. So he's not going to earn, like, Dortmund aren't going to earn a lot of the, they're not going to earn a part of the percentage that says, oh, he has to hit 25 England caps by whenever. We don't know.
That's cool and everything, but I'm doing $100 million all in. That's what it is. But just aside from Darwin Nunes, I think obviously you're like, all right, cool. I have already had question marks of whether he's Liverpool quality.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing about, like, waiting, to me, it doesn't really work in this situation because, like I said, we had this conversation in the group, innit? I said if Liverpool bought Maguire, are you going to wait 6 months for him to come good? No, because he's a shit player now.
Yeah, but we already
he's
knew.
He's going to be shit in
We already
months,
knew that. Like, he already played in the Premier League. No one thought, like, 80 million was, oh, that's definitely Maguire.
It's obviously nonsense. It's the same way 100 million from Nunes is nonsense.
But I think there is a bit of leeway when you're buying a player who has... He did score goals in the Champions League last season.
Mm-hmm.
And Benfica were in a tough group.
Mm-hmm.
Scored against Liverpool in the... knockout stages. He scored against Ajax in the knockout stages. So he has proven, even
okay,
if
yeah,
it's just
right,
a
I'll
season.
Because of his track record in the Champions League.
But we're talking about Premier League. We don't know what he's like in the Premier League. We haven't seen him.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with Maguire, you could say, okay, if Man United had bought him for 10 million And then, like, after 2-3 seasons, it hasn't worked out and you cut your losses. That's fine. Like, you tried. Maguire played well for Leicester. He had some good appearances for England. But it didn't work out at United. Now, you pay 80 million. Now, you know that's a gamble. Our first episode ever was me saying how it was a waste of money to spend 80 million on Maguire. But we could see that. And the player I was telling them to sign in the summer, they signed in January, which was Bruno Fernandes.
I guess you don't always get it right, do you? I hear that. But I think, especially when you're replacing Mane, it's not an easy task.
Oh, absolutely.
I think what they should have done was gone and got... Because now they have to play completely differently. You've got a guy who has none of the qualities Mane has, but apart from he's almost as fast.
Could you not say that perhaps they're already looking to change the system? Because if you look at the Premier League, I think we're kind of going back to having a fixed nine again.
Mm-hmm. But Liverpool, it wasn't as if they were like unsuccessful with Mane.
But you're looking at like a front three that had been together for like 5-6 years, like mm-hmm. Salah, Firmino and Mane.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, obviously, big loss taking Mane out of that, and then you're looking at Salah and Firmino has declined massively.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, he got the 3 goals against Bournemouth. Two goals against Bournemouth, and then he scored against Newcastle, whatever. But I think the problem here is that then you're left with Salah and Jota and Luis Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all quite similar. Similar height, similar profile. Obviously, Salah's the difference maker. He can, you know, he could just do what, like, something out of nothing. But I do feel like Liverpool and other teams have started to adapt and maybe thinking like, let's go back to a fixed nine. Because if you look at City, last season they ran to the title with ease. And now you're adding Haaland into that. And they didn't have a striker. Well, they had a striker. They had Gabriel Jesus playing on the wing. So now you're adding Haaland. And we're seeing the difference that Haaland is making on this Manchester City side. And obviously he's a bit of a freak anyway, but
12 goals in what, 7 games?
it's absurd. I don't think we've, apart from like Messi and Ronaldo, and that was in La Liga, we haven't seen numbers like this.
I think, like I said, he's honestly on course for like 65 goals this season. Because if you're looking by the maths, why?
Yeah,
and he's just all of his games minimum 2 goals for the last couple of weeks, isn't it?
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, I feel like we're reverting back to...
But clearly it's not working. It's not working.
But also, he did miss 3 games for the stupid headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to give it time. You can't just say, like, oh, he's played 2.5 games. He has to... You know, he scored against Fulham. I think the goal counted in his favour, even though it was...
He back-heeled it. That was a decent finish.
But so you need to give him, like, Haaland... He had that game where he had like 7 touches of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just go from one thing going,
me, I ain't going to cut it.
But he's had a run of games.
Nunez is more expensive than Haaland.
Yeah, I know he is.
Not Haaland has a much bigger and better track record, yeah?
Yeah.
So he's more of a certified thing.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, mate, it wasn't like the referee screwed him over. Like, if you headbutt someone, you're going to get sent off.
No, yeah, that's
his fault.
I'm
not going to say, oh, well, you missed three. Well, he didn't get missed three from a scandal or like a... An
injury or something.
Or like, what's it, injustice. You headbutted someone, yeah? So that's what happened.
Yeah, and that's also, on him. That is on him.
Like, when he's been on the pitch, he's been good, yeah? He's been poor. He's been poor. That's not like, he's been poor. I think Liverpool will be at their best when Jota comes in. Because Jota, one, is a far better footballer. Jota, I mean, what's Nunez? I'll give it to him. He's incredible in the air. Like, that guy can jump. Like, the other day where I think it was against Everton where he jumped and his whole shoulders were above the crossbar. Like, he's incredible in the air. So, if Liverpool can work that out in terms of obviously the amount of crosses they get in Trent and Andy Robertson, he can get goals. And
what about
the
technique
physical.
In the shot?
No, he hasn't got good technique.
What
in the shot?
Yeah.
Oh, what, the
I'm not talking about
the one where he hit the crossbar?
Yeah. Like, he looks like
thing is, he's a professional footballer, man. And he's not going to be like anyone. Like, we all saw that video of Vestergaard doing flip-flap in training. I mean, any professional footballer can do anything decently. But, like...
You say that, but...
But, like, the point I want to get to
But you've watched Cedric for a long time.
Oh, my God. Well, Nunes is the Cedric of up front, innit? So, I'm just kidding. All right, maybe people think I'm being harsh, innit? So, I'll give him time. But I know 6 months from now, I'm going to be right. So, we'll see, innit? Well, the player they should have got was someone... Because when Mane went up, down the middle, Liverpool looked far better as well. Because Diaz is too good to drop. Salah's the main guy. And Mane, obviously, you can't... Salah and Mane are the two main guys for Liverpool, innit? So, especially in your attack. Diaz is too good to drop, so he had to adjust. And that's why Jota, who was banging goals in the beginning of the first half of last season, he had to hold a place on the bench because you can't leave out Mane. And then Mane adjusted to that role, and then the whole front three just looks so fluid. Because Salah, once you've got two forwards like that who can create, you know, their own shots, do stuff in isolation, take players on, make runs in behind in Diaz and Mane. Salah's game, he's a goal scorer, but he also becomes, like you're watching now, Salah as well, he's being more of a facilitator. He's actually got a lot more creativity in him as well. Like, he's actually getting the final ball as well. And Liverpool are relying on him as well, to not just be like this one-pronged attack, which is Trent whip it in. It's a different type of, like, he gives a different option as well, because Diaz is more of a one-for-one guy. And he can go on the outside, whereas Salah, he'll cut in as well and create chances. So then with Mane, there was that fluidity. It really helped. Because Liverpool didn't lose any of the last 15 games or so, was it? Towards the end of the season.
They lost against Madrid.
No, I mean, just in the league, really.
Oh, in the league. Yeah, I don't think so.
And that's really when Mane came back from injury, and then the three of them were firing. So I thought Liverpool, they can get a forward like Mane, a perfect one, who's more similar to Mane in terms of profile and, you know, flexibility. Is Nkunku would have been perfect for them.
But he signed a new deal, innit?
Yeah, I know. But like, if Klopp calls him, I guarantee before that pen touches the paper, he'll be like, "Yeah, sorry, let me chat to my agent." And then Klopp has that whole German market on lock if he wants.
But I think he signed a contract for Leipzig to protect his value.
See, players have got to stop doing that stupid shit. Why has Zaha been in jail for like 5 years?
Because no one's going
to
pay.
I think shorter contracts need to be the thing now.
But actually, longer contracts are proven to be...
No, longer contracts. Now Liverpool are kind of stuck. Liverpool gave a long contract to Gomez, and look at it now. They want to rip it up 5 minutes into the season, bro. Because I swear, I'm not even joking. Mark knows as well. He accepted as well. Because we had a big disagreement in the group when he first signed the contract. My argument was, Gomez, he's a good player, yeah? But he's not been he's not played for Liverpool for about a year and a half yet. Well, 2 years. He was injured for a year, and then he sat on the bench the whole of last year, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The only time he played really was as a stand-in right back. But Trent's got good fitness. He barely plays. I said, he needs to go somewhere to get his confidence back, get his mojo back. Why is he going to stay? Because if Matip is fit, if Konate is fit, I know both of them have injury issues historically, Gomez is always fourth choice.
But could you not say then, could you not argue that he might have gone on loan as opposed to just leave
permanently? Even in loan, fine as well. But like, signing a new contract and really, Liverpool really only kept him for situations like this, where
would you not back yourself though? If you're a footballer, I know your stance where it's like, mm-hmm. you want to do the least amount of work for the most amount of recompense that you can. Mm-hmm. But let's hypothesize here, mm-hmm. that footballers don't think like you and they want to be competitive.
That's true.
And let's say Joe Gomez looked at the situation. He said, okay, so I've got Van Dijk, Matip, Konate all ahead of me,
mm-hmm.
but I back myself to. Firstly, recover from these injuries, get back to full fitness, and get back to the level I was playing at previously, which we've all praised him for before. Mm-hmm. You even, on this podcast, you even said that he could be England's best, mm-hmm. Best centre-back. So, would you not back yourself? Knowing knowing you historically, like, have been at that level, could you not say, I could get back to that level?
I get it. That's, I mean, from a like a motivation, that's exactly what you want for your players. You want all of your players to be able to compete, to think that they can start. That's the whole point of having a competitive squad. That being said, he was fit for the whole of last season, yeah? And he touched the bench the whole time, didn't it? So he didn't play. Because any time Konate went playing and Matip went playing, the other one was playing. It wasn't Gomez, yeah?
Are you sure he was fit the whole season?
He was fit the whole season. Well, most of last season, really. He was just sat on the bench. He wasn't really considered as well. And the only time he played, really, was just if Trent wasn't playing. So the issue with what I have with him right now is, if you want to get back into your fitness and your mojo as well, like, get a fresh new start, because you're not going to get enough minutes playing for Liverpool as a first choice. And especially, like, and also, Konate is younger than him. It's mm-hmm. not as if, like, Joe Gomez, people have this perception that he's young. He's been at Liverpool for, like, 8 years now. He's 25 years old. Konate is 22, playing much better than him, starting in Champions League final, playing very well in the Champions League final, playing quality. And Konate, he's not only just a good defender, he's a goal for it as well. How many goals did he score last season? 4 or 5. Mm. Scoring against big teams, scored in the Champions League, scored in the FA Cup semi-final. Yep. It's just, he's a top centre-back. And also Matip as well. A lot of people just think Matip is the second guy to Van Dijk. Matip was better than Van Dijk last season. Matip was one of the best defenders in the league last year. And Matip is, in terms of like playing out of the back, I think Matip is better than Van Dijk playing out of the back, especially like getting it into dribbling out or with the ball. Matip is one of the most underrated. Matip can play as a box-to-box midfielder. He's actually that good. So I just think when it comes to Joe Gomez, I think, and now we've seen it as well, like he's just clearly right now, he's not, Mark even admitted himself, he's not at the level. He's not at the level.
Obviously, that's plain to see on the pitch, but I'm saying like,
he got hooked at half-time, you know? Like,
yeah, I know.
Pop rarely does that.
I know, but there's something to be said. Like you said, he didn't play a lot last season. So, like, coming into these kind of games,
it's a bit delusional to think you're suddenly going to...
Yeah, you're not suddenly. You have to build that back up. And it might be a case, like, do you remember when Aaron Ramsey had that horror injury at Stoke and then he went on loan to Cardiff and Nottingham Forest? Mm-hmm. It might be something like that. Obviously, not. You don't have to go Championship. Like, you could go, like, a Palace.
Ramsey was 18 then.
Like, that's fair. But, like, you could go, like, Palace or something. Like...
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. I think, I honestly think the reason...
Or even Leicester. Leicester are desperate for centre-back. Oh,
bro, we'll get onto him in a second. But, like, it's just watching Gomez is thinking, like... I think the reason he re-signed is, obviously, one, there's obviously a good financial incentive. You've got a four-year... what are you doing?
My leg's hurting.
Okay, cool. Well, you brushed my leg as well. Sorry. So... I ain't trying to get ACL like you in it. So Joe Gomez, he obviously he stayed for the financial incentive, the fact that you got off security and 4 year deal, and I think he wants to stay at like the club must have
I'm sorry, what is this, the NBA?
Yeah, they stayed at. No, but I do think you know what the club play would, like with top players, isn't it?
Yeah, sure, but the club would have assured him stuff. They wouldn't have just said one season. Like,
the manager's obviously going to say stuff, but then. When he does nonsense like Napoli, he's obviously going to say, sorry, yeah, about that assurance I gave you. Wycombe Wanderers in January. That's what
Wycombe Wanderers. Wow, okay. I don't want to spend the whole episode on Liverpool.
Can we talk about some of the defending for the Napoli game?
Yeah, sure.
This has to be the end of the facade of people lying and saying Trent can defend because he can't. It's just factual information. It's not even an opinion. Mark comes here and anyone who has R in front of their position when it comes to a defence, yeah, if you're right wing back, right centre back, he's gunning for you. He goes, oh, Reece James made a mistake. Oh, Kyle Walker got rinsed by Sam Maximan. Oh, no one talks about Cancelo. It's just like, all right, cool. But like historically, those guys are not awful defending when it comes to Trent. That being said, yeah, his qualities on the ball and his value to Liverpool as a team in the fact that Liverpool, they can compensate for mistakes most of the time, obviously not this season. And also the fact that he is literally Liverpool's playmaker from right back. It makes him one of the most dangerous players in the world. So that's why I can understand why Klopp will persist with him. That being said, he's not even just a bad defender. I think he's a lazy defender as well. Yeah. I think, one, I've seen it about 2 years consistently. The guy just does not sniff dangers when it comes to people running off the back of him. And you see it time and time again. I remember the League Cup final against Chelsea. How many times did Chelsea get on through? And they're all, suspiciously, all coming from the right side, either on the inside or the outside.
Well, we targeted that at the Emirates in the semi-final.
Well, exactly, yeah. And then, but then he dealt with it. There are days where he deals with it. Sometimes his interceptions.
I wouldn't say that he dealt with it.
No, it wasn't even the semi-final. It was the league game.
But the semi-final game as well.
Oh, but
league game.
And it was him. He was the difference because he made both goals.
Yeah, but he made both goals. But what I'm saying is that every single time Martinelli rinsed him.
Yeah, I mean,
and then it would be Henderson or the centre backs coming in to
exactly. So that's how they usually get away with it. Henderson's injured. Matip's injured. He's not got someone to hold his hand right now. Joe Gomez isn't playing well. Who's the midfield? Milner. You know, obviously he's not helped. You know what? But you can't have one player who's actually like literally such a detriment in one area of his game, in the fact that you have two other players to compensate for him. And the fact that those two players are not there, or players who are good enough to do that, means it's such a detriment to the team. Because we're watching Trent right now. It's actually farcical. Like obviously I said he we saw it with Vinicius' goal in the Champions League final. Obviously the ball shouldn't have came in, but like it's clear he has no clue of who's behind him, and it happened time and time again. But against Napoli, it's just lazy. Like, he actually doesn't look
I don't just think it's Trent Well, I get what you're saying about the defending, but I'm saying this season it's not just a Trent thing.
Because
Van Dijk's had his moments. Fabinho hasn't looked.
Fabinho's been awful this season.
He hasn't looked like his normal self.
It's actually concerning as well.
And like Napoli just outplayed Liverpool. Like all the things that Liverpool are supposedly good at or have historically been good at, mm-hmm. Napoli just was like 10 times better than them on the night.
Yeah, Napoli. We've got to give credit to Napoli. They were great. And
The midfielder, Anguissa, he balled out.
Anguissa, man, I'd love him in our team.
He balled out.
He's actually not only just an engine, but he's technically really gifted. He's a bit Pogba, like without.
I can see that.
Without the hyena. Can we talk about that quickly?
Go on then,
bruv. Is that not, honestly? When I first heard it, I thought this must be one of those football troll stuff on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he's actually admitted to it. Like, yeah, he called a witch doctor and all that just to get, and then he got injured anyway. Yeah. And firstly, who on earth is the ground manager at Man United to allow him to get a dead hyena to bury in under the pitch in Old Trafford? He must be brethren with him.
Man United are crazy, innit?
No, that's not even Man United. That's just that's not even that's like
no, but
there's so much protocol.
But someone has to approve that.
Give you 100 grand. Right.
100 grand.
But it's going to be a bit weird, but just hear me out. Innit?
The story is even wilder. It's like Mbappe had to call him because apparently, this was rumours, isn't it? His brother.
Everything we say is alleged.
Alleged, yeah. His brother said that he was praying with the witch doctor for Mbappe's ability to go.
Sorry? I didn't know about this. Yeah. I heard about something to do with Mbappe, but Pogba wanted Mbappe's ability to go.
Yeah.
For what reason? Do you not want to win the World Cup again?
And then apparently Mbappe called him and was like, "Is this real?" And he was like, "No."
I just called a witch doctor to make sure I don't get injured. Then I got injured anyway. This is farcical.
But yeah, I was seeing stuff that Mbappe had to actually call Pogba.
Mbappe is jarring me right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his his ability is unquestionable.
He's a quality world-class
player. It comes with your attitude and your behavior. Yeah. Like you can't. Well, if
the ego's insane right now.
If you don't receive the ball on a counter attack, it doesn't mean you walk off the pitch.
Off the pitch, yeah.
Like not everything has. You know when people say, "Oh, everything went through this person." It's not literally everything went. It's just like saying this guy was instrumental to the win. It's like he was involved in a lot of things.
I know he thinks he's the president of the club, innit? But you're not, bro. President of the club is.
He's a director of football.
Al Khalifi or whatever.
He's the director of football.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, but the thing is, yeah. You know when Bale was at Madrid? Bale was the record transfer. He was the big, big money signing. Bale came and he knew his role immediately. There were times where Bale would run clear, have a tap in, and Ronaldo would go through a miss.
Yeah.
But Bale accepted it. Like, he was like, all right, he's the boss. I'm just going to accept it and try my best to support him in it, and then we can win together, which they did. Mbappe, yeah? Bro, you've got two of the best players of all time playing with you.
Why does he not want to pass to Neymar?
No, honestly, if he does, I'm going to lose my mind right now. Because watching Neymar right now is actually...
He's having an unbelievable season.
He's Neymar
having an unbelievable season.
Every time, against Juventus, I was blown away. Like, every time he touched the ball, it was just magic. And you look at the assists as well. Neymar, he's not just scoring goals, man. He's giving Mbappe half of his goals as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So,
him and Messi, like Messi's assists. Like, do you see the assist at the weekend?
Oh, and the first touch from Neymar.
Unbelievable.
So magnifique.
Well, let me just clarify. So apparently, Pogba's brother told Mbappe that he asked the witch doctor to cast a spell on Mbappe. So it was that he wanted to curse Mbappe.
What's this thing about Martial as well? Like apparently, when he allegedly planted the hyena underneath the ground for the witchcraft part, that Martial got injured because of it. So are we just going to blame Martial's injury? Not because Martial probably pulled a hamstring in training.
But I think Martial came out and spoke about that. He said that like he was injured for a large part of last season.
And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on loan as well.
Sevilla, yeah. Yeah. No, but he said that Ole just kept playing him.
Okay, wasn't it Rashford as well?
As well, yeah. Both of them. Yeah, I don't get why Mbappe... There seems to be some friction between Mbappe and Neymar because I was reading something in The Goal that was talking about Sergio Ramos is having to act like a conduit to kind of ease the tension. So he's kind of like... Because Neymar apparently is really frustrated. And so he's...
Sergio Ramos... Mbappe's going to hold it, you know.
But how? When you at 23, 24, have been made director of football at a club that you play for, and you're there, you probably up there with, like, highest earner.
Like, well, he is, yeah. He signed a deal, yeah, which is a $300 million signed on fee and $100 million a year contract. Which...
So...
What have you got to be upset about with that kind of money, you know?
But I think it is an ego thing, because obviously I'm not saying that necessarily you're looking at Neymar with a bit of jealousy. I'm not necessarily saying he's jealous. But what I am saying is that you're meant to be the star. You know, you were bought to eclipse Neymar.
Mm-hmm.
And Neymar is balling out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and miss a penalty. And then Neymar goes and takes his penalty. He scores. And so you start to be like, bro, this is my team. What are you doing? And I'm not saying it's right, but...
Let me just remind him up here that Neymar was here first, yeah?
Absolutely.
So if it's anyone's team, it's his team, yeah?
So
just because you've made director of the club, yeah? Neymar should be made, like, king of France, you know? So, also, on top of that, like, Neymar... I mean, if Mbappe has issues on the pitch, yeah, bro... Just score your goals. You can do that with your eyes shut in that league, yeah? Get on your helicopter, go to your yacht, sleep, and that's it. You don't need to have all this stress. And the stuff, obviously, like, I don't really want to, like, criticise someone for taking a shot, especially if they're a striker.
Yeah.
And that's what he's been doing well in
these goals. But he should have squared.
But when you do stuff like that nonsense where he went clean through and hit the side netting, he's done that quite a bit as well. He did that in the Euros a few times as well, like, slashing it into the side netting. That those
square the ball,
those
bruv.
Kind of finishes annoy me the most as well, square, because it just feels ball. Like you're not concentrating and you're just slashing at it. Square Neymar is busting the gut. When do you ever see Neymar sprinting?
He glides
over the pitch, isn't it?
Have you seen his stats for this season?
And this Gaultier guy, man, he's done a good job in terms of like the way they're set up now, because
yeah. That's
you
a proper manager.
You go with the three at the back. Last year, Ramos was holding bench, and Ramos is too good to be holding bench, especially in the French league.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go with that three at the back, you got the solidity at the back, and the fact that you got the two fullbacks who don't have a lot of defensive responsibility, and they're both strong attacking-wise, because Hakimi, he's a bit Trent when it comes to defending, and Nuno Mendes is, by trade, more of an attacking player. So you get those two fullbacks attacking, and then you've got the three at the back, you've got two hard-working midfielders, because they're, like, if you think about it, Verratti and Vitinha, that's two small guys. Like, you've got Renato Sanchez.
But Vitinha's technical ability is...
Wolves. He went to Wolves and barely played.
Yeah.
I know he was a bit younger then, but, like, you see what he's like in these big games now when he's playing.
Bro, against
he's benching Renato Sanchez, isn't it? So, like, you watch those two, the two hard-working midfielders. Verratti is honestly, like, that guy is, like, to me, he's just, like, watching... Iniesta and Modric combined, man. It's just beautiful watching him glide, the way he can resist pressure, the way he's just a rash to players. He's a bit like, there's elements of him where going forward, he's a bit Iniesta, and then defensively, he's a bit Kante, in the fact that he's a rash when he tries to win the ball back. And then you've got the three superstars up front who don't have any defensive responsibilities, because last year, the issue that Poch made was that he played a solid 4-3-3, similar to his Tottenham team. And his Tottenham team, when their front three used to be Son left, Eriksen inverted on the right, and Kane down the middle, innit? Son and Eriksen had clear instructions to be compact and help out your fullbacks, innit? Because that's how Tottenham were so successful in their team, innit? And then you had Dele Alli, who didn't have defensive responsibility. Really, his job was to go and support Harry Kane. Mm. So when Poch came in at PSG, he was doing that. And he had those... You can't have Messi and Neymar doing defensive work.
No.
That doesn't work.
I mean, we saw that Messi trying to defend in the 8-2 against against Bayern, do you remember?
He just said, I mean, it's 7-2 and I'm Messi. Why am I doing doggies?
Well,
no.
Well, let me read a little bit from the article and the goal. So what's happening? All is not fully well in Paris as despite recent talks and a team-wide meeting, Neymar still resents what he sees as unneeded drama between himself and Mbappe, which spilled into the public eye during a penalty dispute earlier this season. He believes Mbappe is responsible for the conflict. The bigger picture is that Neymar and Mbappe have been at odds since the start of the season, with Mbappe initially upset by Neymar's growing dressing room influence, ergo the ego, And Neymar, feeling Mbappe has repeatedly been selfish on and off the pitch, an incident in the Champions League last week, which we talked about. And what's more, Neymar has been careful not to let his frustration boil over in the dressing room, with Sergio Ramos serving as a close confidant in recent weeks. It hasn't impacted Neymar's play, as he scored 8 goals in 7 league un games. The duo have so far listened to manager Christophe Galtier's plea to play nice for the cameras.
Yeah, that's the thing. Keep it behind closed door, innit? And no one really cared, to be honest. Because how many times do we see, like, players... Like, we saw Cedric and Lacazette fighting, which, by the way, which is top 5 TV moments of the minute. But if you go back to him, I'm just quickly on it. Lacazette was entirely in the wrong there.
Absolutely.
He fouled a kid who tackled him.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even like
and then put his hand on Cedric's throat.
That wasn't even like a hard tackle. He fouled him. Like, he actually... kicked him. That's assault.
Yeah, he kicked him. Yeah,
assault. That's assault. Yeah. And then Cedric, I wish we heard what Cedric said to him.
Yeah,
Lacazette was like, "Speak normally, speak normally." Yeah. And then he grabbed him by the face. The people who broke it up, I say it again, all of those people need to be executed from the club. I don't want to. I don't care who you are. The people who got involved
in the Saka.
People, well, I have to think about that. I have to reevaluate it because they honestly, I would love to have seen it because Cedric is small, isn't it?
Yeah,
but I think you could take Lacazette, to be honest.
Yeah.
And by the way,
although Lacazette now is apparently bare athletic.
What on earth is going, like, what is this guy's doing, overhead kicks?
Yeah, I don't know.
Nah, I'm not happy. That's why, honestly, that's not a good look for the Ligue 1, you know.
this is alleged.
He's matched his total from last year, isn't he?
This is alleged, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think he sabotaged us last year.
Why?
Like, purposely.
But he's only
last season he didn't run. He didn't do any, he didn't shoot. He's just most times hanging around the halfway line.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's busting a gut in France. He's chasing down lost causes, and he's doing overhead kicks. Saboteur.
Maybe he is a saboteur, yeah, bro. Yeah. Well, there needs to be an investigation, I guess, isn't it? Well, get him caught. I'll be there.
I'll do the investigating.
Yeah, but like him, I think that that's all going to run out soon, isn't it?
If he continues,
like a threat, Lizzo's there, all of those stuff. They're not just for jokes.
If it continues. Listen,
we have to put that whole league. That league needs to be. It's not called Ligue 1 anymore. It's called Uber Eats. That's it. Because that league needs to be put in the bin. If Lacazette can go in there and start slapping goals, no, I'm not having.
No,
it.
Honestly, I think he sabotaged us last year.
Nah. But yeah, so yeah, whatever. Innit? Let's see how Lyon do this season.
I got this story.
Man, I'm moving from Lyon to West Ham, innit? So.
Hey, Paqueta, you never know, like. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's gonna do?
I like Piquet. I wanted him to sign for Arsenal because I think there's a lot of versatility in where he can play. He can play 10. He can play left.
He's a goal-scoring midfielder.
He can play as a false nine. He can play as centre midfielder. And he's very technically gifted as well. And one of his underrated qualities is the fact that he actually works hard defensively. Yeah. So I think he can easily play in that Xhaka role. He can easily play in the Odegaard role. I don't think he can play in the deep line six role. I think that's a bit too much. But who knows? Sambi's playing then, so we don't know what it can be like in it. I think he can play in either wing as a alternative to Saka. I think he's a very, very versatile player, and he's one of those players who's positionally very intelligent. Yeah. So he can be a success. And you know, West Ham have done a good deal, you know, like now their team is starting to look quite good in attacking positions. If you have a front four of Paqueta in the 10 with I don't know, Bowen and Cornet
and Scamacca.
But Scamacca's been shit since he came here. So Antonio is the one, really. He stays in because he's just... You know, Antonio can give a bad day to everyone. Obviously, he lacks in certain areas. He's not going to get so many goals, is it? But, you know, you had all of that around him. Those guys are all, like, the three behind him were all, like, decent goal scorers.
I watched the doc, the BT doc, South of the River.
What's that?
It's basically documenting, like footballers in from South London. Mm-hmm. So, like... growing up in the cages and stuff, and then it follows like
Antonio.
Six young players like currently who
was a thing about Eze.
Yeah. But it follows six players who like are trying to get into academy, so that it follows one girl and then four or five other boys who are trying to like who are between academies or are in the youth team or whatever. And then it has like participation from Premier League footballers. Yeah. So Sancho's on it, Joe Gomez, Mikhail Antonio, Eberezi.
South London has a lot.
Yeah, even Tammy Abraham's on it. And the Mikel Antonio thing, I don't know if you know this, but when he was like 18, he didn't have a club. So he started playing for Tooting and Mitcham, I think is the name of the club. And they said, oh, we want you to sign a contract. And he was like, no, because if I sign a contract and a bigger club comes for me, then you might make it difficult. So he was released by Tooting and Mitcham. And then he realized, okay, this is bad. I'm going to go back to Tooting and Mitcham. And then he went to... He went to AFC Wimbledon. And he did a trial there. So he spent like 2 weeks there. And then when they went to register him, the club were like, no, we don't want to pay the registration fee. Do you want to guess how much the registration fee was?
What was it?
£7.
Oh, what an L.
AFC Wimbledon didn't want to pay £7 to register
and
Antonio.
Who did he get signed by?
So then he went back to Tooting and Mitcham, signed his contract. 1 month later, Reading went and bought him.
Matting.
And then he goes to Nottingham Forest and then West Ham.
AFC Wimbledon, you know.
£7.
Is it the old Wimbledon or is it AFC?
No, Wimbledon? AFC Wimbledon. Raw. £7, Mikel Antonio.
And, how much did Reading buy from Tooting?
They didn't say in the doc, but it was nothing.
It must have been.
It was like nothing.
But still, like a decent
but
amount.
But decent amount for Tooting. Yeah, absolutely.
It would have been if Wimbledon had got him,
yeah.
He would have showed out in the Football League,
yeah,
and then they would have paid
more
in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
£7, you know.
£7.
£7. That's two chicken and chips. £7.
£7.
Nah.
That's mad, isn't it?
Cool. I know.
Wait. Before we move on. Moving on. Mm-hmm. I had this story that I saw online, and it's about. Can I take it back? Let's rewind the years to when we were growing up, and two Italian legends, Francesco Totti and Nesta. Mm-hmm. So
Nesta's my favorite defender of all time.
So I don't know if you know this, but they were born the same year.
Okay.
So in 1976, they were both born 6 months apart. And
can I give you a quick fun fact?
Go on.
Henri and Galas were born on the same day.
Really?
Yeah. So one of them.
The exact same day.
The exact August 17th, 1977.
Why do you know that off by heart?
It's Thierry's birthday. It's etched into my brain, isn't it? And unfortunately, he also produced one of the biggest pieces of crap I've ever put on the Arsenal shirt, or Tottenham shirt, or Chelsea shirt, or any shirt in general.
So it's like you have to take the good with the bad.
The bad, didn't it? You produced one of the greatest gifts of all time.
Yeah.
In football, and then you also produces someone who cried on the pitch after a draw
against Birmingham
as the captain. What do you think? Where's our captain? Oh, he's crying on the other side.
And he was
pitch.
Kicking the sideboards and stuff. Yeah.
What's the advertiser called to do to you, bro?
Anyway, so first, Roma approached Nesta. Mm-hmm. His father, Sky Blue through and through, was
Lazio.
Not having it. Yeah. Mm. So then similarly, Lazio had approached Totti, but he said no. Loyalty begins early in Rome, apparently. Age 9, Nesta signs for Lazio and Totti signed for Roma. And then there's a picture of them both in the under 13s, I think. Yeah. So that's Nesta and that's Totti.
Totti was proper blonde.
Yeah. Mm. And then, so both Nesta and Totti were born into title droughts. So Lazio hadn't won the Scudetto since 1974. And Roma's last Serie A title came in 1983. But by October 1998, they were both club captains under their respective leadership, Lazio and Roma
Were they mates growing up?
It doesn't say here.
Okay.
But in 2000, Nesta led Lazio to their first league title for 26 years. And then exactly 12 months later, Totti did the same for Roma.
Mm.
Nesta's Lazio career was cut short when financial problems forced the club to sell him against his will. So he didn't want to go. And then Lazio were like, Milan.
Lazio you got to go to Milan. Ham in the early 2000s just to get a league title.
Yeah.
The clubs are so immoral.
So, but Totti obviously remained at Roma for the total of 28 years.
Mm.
Both were part of Italy's 2006 World Cup win, but it's their impact at home that informs their legacy. Sons of Rome, Nesta and Totti, born 6 months apart in the city, in the city they helped make the centre of Italian football for a while. And I think a sad story that came out yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, was Totti's father passed away. And his wife, she wasn't like consoling him or anything like that. And she was being a bit distant.
Totti's wife.
And then he must have been like, after a while, he must have been a bit like, so he checked her phone and she'd been cheating.
With her dad?
No.
Cheating on him?
Yeah, yeah.
Mad thing.
And they've now filed for divorce.
Right, your dad dies and then you divorce your wife because she cheated on you.
Yeah.
Mad thing. He doesn't deserve that, man.
Yeah.
I think everyone in Rome needs to go give him a gift. I think they'll do that, you know. If Totti says, I want 100 grand from everywhere.
100 grand?
Bruv, Totti would have like 6.5 billion at his account the next morning.
100 grand, you know?
No, because he is literally the king of Rome. They love him so much.
You know? Yeah, I know he's the king of Rome, but like 100 grand. Who has 100 grand just sitting around? Is there something you want to tell us?
Hey, I think... I don't know. I'm just saying, like, those people from Rome would actually look for, would do something to make sure they get 100 grand so they can give it to Totti. Totti owns everyone in Rome. I just wanted to quickly talk on the big news of the past week. I'm going to have to start an agenda on a manager I actually like, you know? Every single week we come here, we praise him, Potter. We love the way he plays now. And then he has to go and... Honestly, I know if he's a new regime and everything, but like, what has ever told you, looking at Chelsea, that that's a job for security, innit? And Man won Champions League less than 2 years ago, bro.
And they said long-term project.
There's no such thing as long-term project,
I don't think
they
know what long-term
project means. Project is, we'll see how you do next week, innit? We'll go week by week, innit?
But it just doesn't make sense, because if you think about it, yeah? At the time, 9 days removed from the transfer window closing... You just spent 300 million and then you beat West Ham and then you lose to Zagreb.
Zagreb, yeah.
And then you get fired.
Mad thing, isn't it? This guy literally had Aubameyang for 3 days.
He played Aubameyang for 54 minutes.
Yeah, and that's it. He's like, what is Todd Bowley like a massive Aubameyang fan? I was going to see him for 90 minutes. Boo. But the reason the story's come out is he left them on red.
Yeah.
So Tuchel is busy. He's not checking his WhatsApp every 5 minutes. My man's just sitting there with it, stroking his long hair, going, "Bro, why has he not responded to me?" It's like, yo.
No, okay. So the context to that is that Todd Bowley wanted a management team to be kind of fluid in communication. So be like saying, talking about transfer targets, talking about...
Oh, piss off. I wouldn't include you in the group. Why do you think you're in the group? My man was suggesting we sign... what do you think of signing LeBron James? God doesn't know anything about football. Oh, you know that Tom Brady, he's a great player. Like, let's get him. Tom Brady, LeBron James and Pulisic.
He's a great athlete.
Front freak, great athlete. I love him. It'd be great for commercial business. Like, shut up, man. Honestly... Tuchel should have done that and made himself the admin so he can remove Todd Bowley from the group. Why are you involved? You know, you just get the approval of give me the money, which he did.
But I think Todd Bowley wants to do that like hands-on approach.
See, that's the issue. They don't have a sporting director, do they?
No.
So they got this yank in the group chatting about, I don't know. hey, Thomas, do you like Sloppy Joes?
Thomas.
Do you like Sloppy Joes? Oh my God, I'm drinking some Gatorade right now. Sending pictures of himself.
I don't know if he's doing like massive like research on, you know.
That's why they need a sporting director, man. You got.
But yeah,
I don't think Josh Kroenke wants to be in a group with Arteta and Edu, does he? Leave it to them, innit?
But yeah, I think they're in the process of hiring someone. But I don't know.
No, it's farcical that Tuchel left. I know things weren't going well. And,
no, absolutely.
You know, but bro, why did you give him all that money to sign players that he wants? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, he got players, he got Cucurella, he got Fofana, he got Aubameyang, he got Sterling, Zakaria. All of these players, like, you know, this isn't a small... It's the most anyone's ever spent in one transfer window in history.
In history, yeah.
And so you say, oh, no, well, you lost to Zagreb, bye. That's nonsense. Like, it's just a nonsense decision.
No, but
obviously,
absolutely.
In terms of recruitment, they were very quick and I think they got the best of...
They got the standout candidate.
Yeah, I was hoping they'd go for Poch because I think Poch is sort of done right now. But
I was hoping.
It's so annoying because like Potter's taken all of his top staff as well from Brighton. Like the Brighton players, yeah, were saying bye to like six different people. Chelsea went and laid out essentially what is like the compensation to Tuchel, the compensation to Brighton, the contract for it's coming up to like 100 million transfer on just a manager.
So get this, yeah. So rewind backwards into the last couple of days of the transfer window. And Tuchel has a conversation with Billy Gilmore and says, I think that you should go to Brighton on loan for your development. Potter's a great manager and you're going to develop under him. You're going
to
get play
time.
Potter
talks to him, says, I want you in my team.
And then, so Billy Gilmore makes the short trip to Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9 days later...
When he's like, what? Huh? Where are you going?
He's off. He's to Chelsea.
Oh, okay. And then Tuchel, he's gone. So the guy who had plans for you to send you out on loan, he's gone.
He's gone. And then the guy who was going to help you develop...
You in, he's gone.
He's gone.
But who knows? Like, he probably would have still have a future when he comes back to Chelsea next year. But like,
yeah, but
for a year at least. Though. Who do you think they should get now?
What do you mean? Oh, Brighton.
Yeah.
I don't know. They always go for someone a bit outside the box.
Yeah, I've heard a few decent shouts. So
I think they should go for the sporting manager.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he was going to go Chelsea. He was linked there. That'd be a good one. Another one is a sort of underrated one, but the guy who's the Celtic manager.
Oh, Australian guy. Yeah, he's
they're doing very well. Obviously, they got slapped up by
Madrid.
By Madrid, but that happens in the Champions.
That's Madrid, isn't it?
The Champions of Europe, isn't it? But they've been smoking Rangers every single time they play them, isn't it? We've seen like a few. They went and tapped up a market, which typically that's what Brighton do, isn't it? They went and got about a bunch of Japanese players who are all hardworking, sick players, and all could. Oh, I think a lot of those can play in the Premier League, innit? And who knows? He might, if he goes there and takes a couple of those players. Like I think there's a few players that Jota who plays for Celtic.
Yeah,
I think he's good. He can play. Yeah. They've got a striker called Kyogo. I think he could play. We've got a couple of decent, but you know, obviously it is that level, innit? So I think that would be a decent one. And another one as well. A lot of people are saying stuff like Poch, but I think a nice, like a coach, like a good coach, someone who's a bit like different, someone who's a bit like more into like the player development and also can continue the fact that they play great football, is it? The issue now, is that obviously with Chelsea, you mentioned, I think you put up a tweet yesterday where you were talking about they still have the striker issues, isn't it?
Yeah. With my, thanks for pointing out my mistake.
Yeah, if Junior makes a mistake in his tweet, I'm going to point it out. but like when it comes to Aubameyang, if Brighton had an Aubameyang, they'd have won the league last season. Because they have strikers, who do stuff at good... Like, Welbeck is playing very well.
Yeah.
But that's still zero goals that he's got so far in it. And Welbeck could have 38 great games this season and still could finish with zero goals. Like, it is wholly possible. So...
Well, I think it would be a miracle for Welbeck to play 38 games, period.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so far he's doing all right. And he was injury-free for most of last season anyway. So when it comes to Aubameyang... That's what Chelsea need, really. I think especially that's what Brighton needed as well. They just need the finishing touch.
Because
now they're getting goals from everyone apart from their striker. So
but it'll be interesting to see like what system they play with. Does he go for like what he was doing at Brighton?
He did play a lot of free at the back a lot, innit?
Yeah, no, he did, but also like at the start of this season.
Yeah, I guess so.
So it'll be like obviously he'll probably like that's the good thing about Potter, I think. Like he's tactically like top notch, like
he will
assess the players and he will probably get the best system out of them.
He's the definition of a good coach.
Yeah,
I just do think there's always with Brighton there's always a period where they'll go like seven games without a win or something.
Yeah, but think about the quality of Brighton and then now he's stepping up with the quality of Chelsea.
It's true. I mean now he's operating in a different market, isn't it? He's not operating with guys. He's going to markets where Brighton are the big team coming from those players. Moises Caicedo and Alexis McAllister. We didn't know who they were before.
But Caicedo looks like a really good player.
That's what I'm scared. My fear now is that Kante is on the way out. And so, do you want to get that?
Yeah.
Do you want to pause it or do you want
to? Just let it run.
Yeah, so I'll just keep talking and you hurry back. Yeah. So, okay. So when it comes to Caicedo, I think Kante is now, he seems to be not declining, but like you see Kante is a. He's got a lot of injuries and he's been less reliable. And that's just Caicedo's only 20 years old. So that just seems like the perfect Kante because he looks like he can pound around the pitch the same way Kante does. He looks like he's always winning the ball cleanly.
But that's what I want for us.
Yeah, exactly. He can play for any of the top six teams, I think. But with Brighton moving forward now, I just hope that it doesn't mean it's a free-for-all for Potter in terms of any player he wants. Because a lot of those players, like, what's the difference between Trossard and Pulisic? Like, he can easily...
No, I think Trossard works better in the system. I think Pulisic has been, like, really, like, injury-prone and stuff.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, like, from if Potter looks at it, you just think, I had a better version of you.
I guess so. But we've seen it. We've seen like managers.
Alexis McAllister or
we've seen managers who make that step up and then they go by the same players and it doesn't quite work out.
Yeah, what's his name did it with Brendan Rodgers did it with when he went to Liverpool. Started taking all these Swansea players.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's really good for Swansea. Maybe he can be good for Liverpool. No, it doesn't work like that. So it's just. So I guess we'll see. But it's the annoying thing now is that it's just going to look like Chelsea are actually going to play good football from now on, aren't they? It looks like, but what a rise for Potter, man.
Yeah, I know. When
2007, he was the Ghana women under 17 coach.
And also,
coach.
He almost gave up coaching to teach at Hull. He was lecturing at Hull.
Oh, crazy, isn't it?
Hull University.
Of all the places as well, why'd you go to Hull?
Well, I think they offered him a job.
Yeah, but you have to live in Hull, though. That's apparently Hull is like number one worst place to live in the UK.
Really?
Yeah, that's come out.
But listen, Hull helped Potter go to Ostersunds and Ostersunds to Brighton and then Brighton here we are.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can, you know, get the England job now.
Yeah.
That's it.
I don't want Chelsea to succeed.
I like Potter a lot and now I'm going to have to want him to be a horrible manager and get sacked within 6 months.
Yeah. 6 months, you know.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so Gavi has just signed a new deal at Barca. Mm-hmm. Do you want to... I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
No.
Do you know how much his buyout clause is?
It's nonsense. They always do that. Didn't they do that with Araujo? They made it a 1 billion release clause. Is it the same thing with Gavi?
Yes.
Why even do that? No one's going to pay it. So you might as well just write a gajillion, bajillion. It just makes sense. Give us 75 gajillion and then that doesn't make sense. No one's going to do that. But I get it because these release clauses, the release clause situation, I'm a bit torn on it because... One, it allows a player an escape out. Mm. However, it is actually so detrimental to the club who have the release clause because they don't even need to negotiate with the actual club. Mm. You just say to the player, do you want to go? And then they go to La Liga and say, we're buying this guy.
Yeah.
So that's what happened with Partey. That's what happens with a lot of different release clauses.
That's why Atletico Madrid hate us.
And that's why, like... Do you remember when Barcelona bid for Verratti and then PSG went to PSG went to Barcelona and say, we're going to activate Messi's release clause. And then that's why Barcelona issued an apology saying, sorry, we don't want Verratti that bad. Because if you do that, this is way before Messi. This is a 500 million release clause. Yeah. They're like, we'll do that. Don't you dare. You know? So that's the thing that is actually really shit for the clubs that, own the player, have the release clause. But on the one hand, I do think more of that they need to be more common because a guy like Zaha having a release clause, it doesn't mean he's been in jail for 5 years. It doesn't mean like, you know.
Although Palace are balling out now, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, but still like he's in 29, never played Champions League.
He's lived long enough for Palace to become decent.
Well, yeah, I mean the thing is he's always wanted to play Champions League. That's why like he was out here putting in transfer requests this summer.
Yeah. This summer?
Well, yeah, Chelsea wanted him, didn't they?
Right, I didn't know that you put a transfer request.
Well, I don't know, man. What's a transfer request in these days? And it just say, yo, if Chelsea want me, make sure these fools let me go, innit? Do you want to talk about Arsenal quick?
Yeah, go on then.
Mate, can we just firstly talk about these flipping postponed and all that stuff? So all week here, I was busting my ass trying to find a ticket for the Everton game. Yeah? I was having no luck. And I knew close to the date, it was more I was probably going to have a better luck because that's when a lot of these tickets...
Yeah.
Go through the season ticket exchange, yeah? Mm-hmm. I was looking. Then obviously, unfortunate situation, the Queen died.
Yeah.
And then, but like, what I hated is the fact that it wasn't all sports.
Rugby
went
football.
Through cricket. Why? Football. What's the issue with football?
So, I read that there was a fear that at the start of games, like doing the tributes, you know, like they wanted to do national anthem and then the
minute
of silence or applause or whatever it was, that they feared that there was going to be boos. And
so just what? Just not have... Well, they're going to have it eventually, aren't they? So the next time they play, they are going to have a minute of silence.
So the issue is that we've seen, and this isn't football fans, but we've seen, it's on the news, it's everywhere... That there's been protests, well, not protests, but people holding up signs saying, you know, end the monarchy and this and this and that, not my king or whatever it is. There was a thing at Tower Bridge. I don't know if you saw. They were doing that cannon salute thing. Yeah, and then they went, "All hail King," blah, blah, blah. And then people went, "Boo." So people booed.
Yeah.
So it is plausible. But that's the thing, yeah. They said that
why do they think it's exclusive to football, though? But they think all the other games are more civilized.
Well, there is this perception that football is a common man's game, so it's more affordable,
mm-hmm.
allegedly, because football tickets are expensive.
It's not affordable at the Emirates.
that football is more affordable for the common. It's the common man's game.
Yeah.
So that says it all. Mm-hmm. That is the perception of what football is. Yeah, it's the most popular sport in England.
Mm-hmm. Because the reason people get into football is why football is much easier to get into than like the likes of, for example, Formula One or swimming or all that stuff, because you need
some sort of... It's more accessible.
Exactly. Football, you can start kicking a rock outside, innit? And you play football. Whereas you need access to a ball to be swimming. You need horse racing and all that stuff. And those are the elite sports, innit?
Yeah.
You need access to...
And so the issue that I have with it is that you said, it's come out in the news, it was part of the statement, that you want life to continue and people's jobs not to be affected. But you cancel a whole weekend of
unknown caller.
you cancel a whole weekend of football where people work.
Yeah,
you know, people are depending on that. And furthermore, is away trips. People have booked train travel, whether it's aeroplane. They're coming from a different country.
The PSV fans, isn't it?
The accommodation, and there's. There's little to no thought about that.
They don't care about the working.
And then the worst thing is, and I'm sorry, but you're spending a lot on a funeral when like the cost of living is going up and people are struggling. The electric bill, gas bill is all like rising, and then you're spending hundreds of millions on.
And this isn't even us being disrespectful.
No, I'm just saying the facts. Like I don't want to be disrespectful, but. That's the
people juxtaposition.
That's the juxtaposition that we're in, where you have people who are struggling, and then you have a lavish funeral over here
for the elite. It's just so like obviously, clearly, it's a classist issue, isn't it? Like we're clearly seeing like a lot of only you were telling me today, you know, like cancer appointments.
Yeah,
people have cancer treatments are getting cancelled for the.
Yeah, my doctor, obviously my one is not for life cancer, and death, but my hospital appointment was cancelled.
Obviously, there's people who know, and apparently there's people aren't going to have appointments for another month.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show, like,
because then you have to there's backlog, innit?
It's just like obviously it's a very much an elitist issue, but I think I felt bad for the PSV fans as well, because Arsenal. That's the annoying thing as well. All right, the Everton game was cancelled, and then I went and got a ticket for the PSV game, and then that gets cancelled like 2 days ago. I was fuming. I was looking forward.
But
to it,
you'll
like.
Get to go to the rescheduled.
That's the issue now.
If
that's
we
the
even
thing
get
now.
One,
and we're gonna get done like Tottenham did last year. Obviously, we're not in the Conference League, innit? But like Tottenham got done last year because they COVID. Was it COVID or
yeah, it was COVID.
COVID forced their game to be called off, and
then they couldn't find a
exactly.
Reschedule.
If you can't, apparently it's between like now and November the 20th or something like that. I think that's the end of the group stage or whatever, innit? But like if we can't fulfil our fixture. PSV have got every right to say, well, they forfeited it because it wasn't us. It was them, innit?
Although it wasn't even us.
It was
the police.
It was the police, innit? Bro, just play it behind closed door. You don't need police that. We're going to need police for the players. it's nonsense, bro. And also, what are the police doing, innit? You don't... Just employ more stewards. You won't need police, man. But yeah, to be fair, like, how much on you go to the game, you go to a game every week, innit? How much fights and violence do you see at the Emirates, really? Above people just getting drunk and jumping.
No, I've never seen it.
Not really, innit?
So I get the fear because it's like a European game like the context.
There's
is
no
like,
alcohol on a European night at the Emirates.
Yeah, so. And the context is like English fans going abroad and causing trouble.
Fighting, yeah.
But I can't really
see Dutch
like,
fans coming.
Dutch fans, they're pretty chill, innit? Yeah. I can't.
They just want to smoke weed. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But yeah, we played Zurich last week as well.
Yep. Marquinhos. Yeah, his... Yeah. Debut and he scored and
that cameraman needs actually sacking because I was trying to get a good look at him. Remember, he was crying, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
They just kept on cutting away to Arteta or someone else. I'm like, move, man! So, and then there was someone standing in front of the camera when they were trying to get a close up on his face.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was an emotional moment as well. He actually looks. I thought he was just gonna be like one of them tricky wingers, like what Antony is, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's actually, he's the opposite. He doesn't have much skills. He's more like an effective kind of player.
I think he does have skills, but I think his game is more, it's kind of, he's almost like Martinelli. Like, it's just, his focus is to get to the byline and either cross or cut in.
He's got good decision making, not bad. For 19-year-old, he's fast as hell, man. He's really, he's very, very physical as well. Like, he's a bit Gnabry in that
But Gnabry. Yeah. And the thing as well is, like, for a 19-year-old, he's built like a bulldog. What's that, he's just like,
he's eating steroids for breakfast. You know how like the Americans have steroids pumped in their food? That's why they're all like 6'4".
No.
Like, at 16 years old.
There is no steroids. No, black beans, bro.
Black beans is good, though.
It is good, it is good. But yeah, I just, I'm really impressed because I did not see him having an impact so quickly.
Yeah.
And I actually thought he was going to be loaned out.
Yeah,
so.
Well, apparently Arteta still wants to loan him out in January. We'll see, but like...
But I don't think that we should because we don't have a
another winger.
Yeah, that who can give Saka a rest.
We kind of need to buy one in January.
Yeah.
The hope is that hopefully we can... But now we've got we've got minimum 9 games in October plus all the games that we have to get rescheduled.
Yeah. Everton and PSV.
PSV. So it's kind of, it's going to be annoying anyway. So
number five is back.
Yeah, moving on. Hopefully we can buy another midfielder so I don't have to deal with that anymore. Eventually we're going to have to start talking about it, but I don't think it's the time now.
Yeah, but I think when it gets officially announced then, because right now,
it is just
apart from, yeah, I was going to say, apart from all the facts, it is speculation. Like,
yeah, but me and you, yeah, we know what side we're on right now.
Axe sit. Number five.
Axe him, bin him. When it comes to Fabio Vieira, it's good.
Oh, he is. He's so...
That's my type of midfielder, man. Honestly.
What was it? What's it called? Oh, he reminds me so much of Cazorla.
He's so good. Like the way you can avoid pressure.
Yeah, good with both feet. Good feet. Like his movement for the first goal. Yeah. Like he's pressed by two players and then he
touches it to me. By the way, it is obviously the comparison. Obviously, comparison is Bernardo Silva.
Yeah,
but Bernardo Silva, he's actually got.
But don't you think like in the middle of the park, he just reminds me of. A bit of like the movement and not losing the ball, it just reminds me of Cazorla.
We are struggling in the middle though because like Xhaka and Lokonga had to play. They're probably going to have to play at the weekend as well. We are down to the back. Xhaka is going to die if he doesn't get arrested, man. He's crazy.
I found a quote from when Wenger first signed Xhaka.
Oh yeah,
that he's seen him as a box to box.
Box to box, yeah. And everyone just thought he's
like you're crazy.
He's a deep light. He can't run.
And also like you're crazy because
you see Xhaka. Xhaka needs to get his flowers because he's been good
for
most of
2022. Very very good. Yeah.
He's been really good this season, especially in this advanced role as well. He's playing very well. He's got great energy, great fitness. His fitness is really one of the biggest assets he has because the fact that you know all of our other midfielders really they can't. They're not all same fit, and he's the one who's the constant. He's been the constant in Arsenal's midfield for 6 years straight.
Yeah.
So shout
and out every manager picks him.
Yeah. I just think if he cuts out the bozo moments, the idiot.
He hasn't had any this season so far.
I'll give it to him, innit? He's not fighting people. He's not getting sent off. You know, last year, there were a couple times where he forfeited in. I remember him against Man City.
Yeah.
3-0 down by that point, and he just went two-footed on Cancelo for no reason.
No, I don't. I felt that was a bit. It wasn't two-footed.
Well, he went. What the hell do you live, Rob? So, we won against Zurich. I struggle to care about the Europa League at this stage right now. I when I'm watching the game, my heart rate doesn't go up. I'm not anxious if we can see. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, cool. The Europa League at this stage.
No, I like watching Arsenal.
All right, cool. That's the difference is this year, we are more fun to watch.
Yeah, and plus I like the players. Like,
yeah, it's
decent. I count on my hand how many players I don't like.
Number five, and that's it. Well, I won Cedric, yeah. But obviously, Cedric is not.
And your boy?
Who? Spud?
Holding.
Oh, he's another one. He's another one. He's like Bellerin. It's either me or him this season. He got to go in January because I can't deal with him anymore. It's just like every single time he tries to play out the back, similar to Saliba and Ben White. And I'm just like, it's just one guy. He's like, you're just one guy when you go play football, five aside, there's one guy who just can't do anything right. Just can't pass, can't shoot, can't tackle.
I mean, we can't all pass like you, bro.
Mate, bro, I think I'm a better centre back than him. Yeah, I can't join a 3-5-2 though.
Let's talk about just to end. Let's talk about two signings that happened this week. First one is the return of Diego Costa to the Premier League.
That video
of him with the Wolves.
Instead of him carrying, they should have put him on the chain. That the Wolves should have been carrying, like, dragging him in it. because he's an animal. Like, he's actually the definition of the word shithouse, because he's, I remember one time when he was playing La Liga, he spat into his glove and threw it at Ramos, which is the most disgusting thing just to think about. Man, right, cool. What if about 10 minutes later in the game, you accidentally rub your face and you got spit on your face now because of your shithouse reading? He used to pick his bogey and flick it at people. I remember one time he played for Chelsea, yeah, and played Stoke, and they were losing. And the ball went down all the way in the corner near the steward, yeah? And he just went over and stamped the steward's foot for no reason. So in his mind, yeah, he's thinking, if you're not wearing blue, if you're not on my side, you must be against me. So he would just go up to, like...
to be fair, that's your mentality.
If a corner... Yeah, it's true, but, like, I'm not at risk getting a red card every 5 minutes. Like, if he sees the corner flag is not blue and he's got a green flag on
he'll
it...
He'll kick it.
He'll kick it. No, you're against me. You've got the referee. Don't... They go, hey, hi, Diego, how are you? Don't talk to me. Are you Chelsea? No. He's just like, that's what he's gonna be. He's just the animal. Like, he's actually the most. He should actually be played. You know, like, before they start the game, yeah, they should release him from his chains and straitjacket. Then he can play for 90 minutes and then he goes straight back into it as well. Because he can't be someone who can be released to society, you know.
And then the second one is Karius to
that is the most random thing ever. Was he a Liverpool player at the time or was he free agent?
I think he's a free agent.
Well, he's obviously just going to be second choice because they didn't have one before, didn't
they? Yeah, because Dubravka went to United, yeah.
So, yeah, Karius, you know, who knows? I hope, my hope, yeah, is that Karius has a great season. Obviously, I would like Pope to be playing for England, but if Pope doesn't play, Karius plays well, so then Liverpool
could... Pope or Ramsdale?
Obviously, I'm going to go Ramsdale. Ramsdale's my guy. But, like, just I don't want Pickford, though, so any of those two, yeah. Really. But I'm not saying I want Pope to get injured, but, you know... If Karius plays and he plays well, and then Liverpool just have egg on their face, you know, because so far most of the time they've only had success in the transfer window, especially outgoings, innit? Guys who aren't at the level where they were at Liverpool before, innit? So if Karius goes out and starts balling out for Liverpool and play well for Newcastle and starts being a good goalkeeper, I'd love it.
I mean, that's pretty difficult.
He hasn't played for like 2 years, has he?
No, he went to Besiktas.
Oh, that was literally the season after he threw it in the goal. That was the 18-19 season. Because 17-18 was where he threw it in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Top man. Then 18-19, when they won it, he went out on loan.
Yeah.
Because literally, Liverpool were going to...
You know, we can Google this.
Liverpool were going to continue with him. But then it was a pre-season friendly. And in the warm-up, every single ball was just going through his hands and his legs. So not even just like you dropping it. It was going through your legs as well. Like it was... He's an American football player.
Did you know that Karius had 2 seasons at Man City?
Yeah, apparently, yeah. And there's another one as well. Like, who else had a couple of seasons? Pablo Mari was at Man City as well.
Yeah. So he went to Besiktas for 2 seasons. So 2018 to 2020.
Yeah.
And then last season, he spent it on loan at Union Berlin.
Unknown caller.
I don't know. They keep calling me.
It's not good for our podcast. But
sorry, yeah, guys.
We'll see. We'll see how he does as well. But how do you think Diego Costa is going to do? Like... He's joining the team where everyone speaks the same language as him.
Yeah.
Even the English players as well. Kilman and Nathan Collins, all of those guys, they're going to learn it. Ait Nouri, they're all practicing Portuguese. That's because that's the main language.
In Wolverhampton, everyone just learned how to speak Portuguese.
The first language is Portuguese.
In Wolverhampton.
No. The main language is Portuguese. Yeah, cool. If you don't know Portuguese, you're not going to survive in Wolverhampton. It's like how if you don't know English, you can't survive in Benidorm or Tenerife. You can't survive if you don't know English. So
did you know, this is bare random. So other than Portuguese, mm-hmm. The second most popular language in Brazil is what?
Spanish?
Yoruba.
Shut up. What?
Yeah, I sped up.
Yeah. Honestly, that would be the last thing. Yoruba. The Nigerians and Brazilian.
The second highest population of Nigerians is in Brazil.
No way. Where?
Well, just around Brazil.
What I mean, is there a hotspot for it? Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah.
Nigerians in Brazil?
Yeah.
Mad. How come we've never seen no Nigerians in the Brazilian team?
We just don't know.
There's like 16 different nations across Europe that have like naturalized Brazilians in their team. I'd just love to see a Nigerian.
We don't know. There might be someone who is married to a Nigerian who...
I don't know. What do they call him? Or there will be a name. I don't want to sound offensive.
let's
move away from this. Yacubinho. He's really, really strong and really lazy. Like, he's got all elements of it. He's so techie, though, isn't it? So techie, so strong, so lazy, though. And he's so flash.
Oh, my God.
He's got a gold-plated Bentley.
Let's end it here. All right, so we'll catch you on the next exciting episode of We'll Talk About That Later. Sports Social Podcast Network.